Jerry Bader Show 1035. This might be as conflicted as I've ever been about being more excited about the Brewers or the Packers. 2011, remember 2011, where the Packers appeared to be on the way to an undefeated season and the Brewers appeared to be on their way to a World Series and the Badgers appeared to be national title contenders. That was an autumn to remember, and I do remember it. I do. But I feel really good about the Packers if they stay healthy. And the Brewers feel like they might be getting hot at the right time. Suddenly, it's been a very good August. And they have just a brutal divisional stretch in September. They have a two-game series with the Blue Jays at home, right? Today and tomorrow. Then they have Thursday off again. That very unusual quirk, by the way. Monday and Thursday off. And then the seemingly fading Pittsburgh Pirates for three games. Then the Padres. Then the Giants. And then how many times do they play the Cardinals in September? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Huge. Do you believe the Cardinals are going to be the team with which they'll be dueling and not the Pirates? I do too, and I don't see the Reds coming back. But they could. Either team could. But it would mean, I think, that one of the two teams, the Brewers, the Cardinals, collapse. And I don't see that happening to either team. The Brewers can scare you when that offense goes cold. But now, I mean, what do they do when Garza comes back? What do they add fires to the rotation? What do you do? What do you do? You can't not have him pitching, starting pitching, can you? I don't know what you do. I mean, that what a wonderful problem to have, huh? That if they win the division, I think that's how it's going to happen. Just the dominating pitching. And that at some point, Nelson, you don't move him, do you? I don't know what you do. Meanwhile, the Packers look very sharp. I'm just excited about both. During the news, Fox News Television was showing surveillance video from Ferguson, Missouri, of the looting and the rioting. Now, I have, from some lefties, received criticism, which I'm going to argue is semi-valid, that perhaps I've been painting with too broad a brush who is doing what in Ferguson, Missouri. I admit there are a number of peaceful protesters. I admit that they feel that they need to protest on behalf of a young man who was killed by a police officer. I get that. I do. And that it is a different, for want of a better term, faction that is doing the rioting and looting. I accept that. I also accept that a lot of it is being imported in to Ferguson. They're outsiders. I accept that. But I think there is more of a blend there than most people will admit. I don't think it's just a few troublemakers. I think the number is larger than that. But last night you did see, when tensions flared and violence flared again, you saw peaceful protesters trying to actually confront the looters, rioters, and troublemakers. So you do have those two factions going on. I accept that. Which faction do you think Al Sharpton's words play to? Let me ask you that. Which of those factions do you think his words play to? I won't answer it. I will just ask it. Howard Kurtz of Fox News, formerly of CNN, referred to some in the media as a lynch mob. The Huffington Post headline, "Arrest him," referring to the officer involved. I'm going to be broader and bolder than that. I think the rioters and looters and even some of the protesters represent a black lynch mob, because they are convinced that the officer should pay for a crime that it hasn't been established he committed. Isn't that what white lynch mobs did to blacks in the South? I had a listener take offense to me saying that minorities always given the benefit of the doubt. What I meant by that is this: because of the true history in the South, where the whites were almost entirely the perpetrators and the blacks were almost entirely the victims when it came to acts of violence and crime, that was true. That template was true. The media continues to use it today. That anytime there's a confrontation between black and white, it is presumed the white is the perpetrator and the black is the victim. It is presumed. That's why George Zimmerman became a white Hispanic. You had to make him fit into that template. Otherwise, a Hispanic and a black, well, that doesn't work. No, because see, he's got to be a white guy. That's just the way it is. And the New York Times created the bizarre label of white Hispanic. What you have going on now is a lynch mob. They want the officer's blood. They believe he is guilty. And they do not believe they need American jurisprudence at this point. Or if they're going to use jurisprudence, it should be to convict him. You'll be hanged after a fair trial. That was the dark humor joke of the South. There were no fair trials for most blacks. They were just hanged. So if the trial's going to be rigged, why not just hang them in advance? That was the lynch mob mentality of the South, whites against blacks. Tell me how this mentality is any different, other than the roles are reversed. And I don't care who's offended by that, because it's accurate. Tell me how it's any different. It's not. It is exactly what blacks endured, but it's okay now. A caller's asking, what if, this is a brilliant question, by the way, what if it were a white teen shot by a black cop? Would the reaction be the same or not? Jason, what do you think? What's your answer to that? You don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's why I get the big bucks, huh? You don't know. Well, okay, let's analyze a very good question. Would the reaction be the same? Can we define reaction as protesters, looters, and rioters? Then no, I do not believe the reaction would be the same. I don't know. You asked me what I believe. I don't believe it would. Would the KKK rise? No, I don't think so. Would they be all over it? They would be shouted. Okay, there. Now, there's a good question. Would the KKK be unfettered the way the mob is now? No. Nor should they be. Nor should they be. This mob is being allowed to run wild. And they're afraid to offend the mob. And then every time they've been nicey-nice, then they've had to clamp down again. Let me read this quote to you. Let me read this quote and then guess who said it. Okay? Now, this doesn't speak to Ferguson. This speaks to St. Louis. Ferguson, of course, is suburban St. Louis. Do you know that blacks are 10% of the population of St. Louis and are responsible for 58% of its crimes? We've got to face that. and we've got to do something about our moral standards. Let me read that to you again. Jason, I'm going to read this quote again, and guess who said it? Again, it deals to St. Louis, not just suburban Ferguson. Do you know that blacks are 10% of the population of St. Louis and are responsible for 58% of the crimes? We've got to face that, and we've got to do something about our moral standards. Guess who said that? I'll give you three guesses. President Obama did not say that. Guess number two. Al Sharpton did not say that. Guess number three. And final guess, Jesse Jackson did not say that. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that in February of 1961. I cheated. He said Negroes, not blacks. Do you know that Negroes are 10% of the population of St. Louis and are responsible for 58% of its crimes? We've got to face that, and we've got to do something about our moral standards, King once told the black congregation. Jason Riley quoted King as saying that a year ago in the Wall Street Journal, and he was vilified for making up the quote. It's in Harper's Magazine, February 1961. You can find it online. Do you think crime and blacks in the St. Louis metropolitan area has gotten better or worse since Dr. King said that 53 years ago? It's gotten dramatically worse. Dramatically. You have a lynch mob mentality that is being fueled by the media and is supported by a shocking number of Americans who have their own problems with their trust of law enforcement, irrespective of race. And there are blacks and whites all over the country who are going, yeah, yeah, to that lynch mob mentality because of a distrust that they have of the law enforcement community. So this isn't just a black-white lynch mob thing. It's a law enforcement lynch mob thing. More blacks than whites, I grant you that. But there are a number of whites who think it's okay to be off the deep end. One other thought on this. Brett Stevens' writing in today's Wall Street Journal talks about the broken window philosophy of law enforcement. That's where you deal with the little stuff, trying to avoid the big stuff. Most people don't really understand how that works. Disorder and crime are usually inextricably linked in a kind of developmental sequence, Mr. Killing observed in a seminal 1982 Atlantic article co-written with the late James Q. Wilson. The mere appearance of disorder, graffiti, broken windows, an abandoned car, drug dealers or prostitutes openly plying their trades, creates a sense that nobody's looking, nobody cares, nobody is in charge. Bad guys respond to these environmental cues by acting badly. Good people stay off the street, bolt their doors, move out. Ferguson is hardly the most dangerous neighborhood in St. Louis County. Rates of violent crime are just below the national median and far below those of East St. Louis, probably the most violent neighborhood in America. But there is disorder in Ferguson. The city has 190 crimes per square mile, compared with a national median of 39. If you live in Ferguson, you are nearly twice as likely to have your car stolen, get mugged, or have your house broken into than if you live in Averageville, USA. Before last week, the biggest story out of Ferguson was the case of a woman who had opened a strip club brothel in the basement of her home. Her 16-year-old son had the job of tending bar. This was the environment in which police officer Darren Wilson shot and killed Michael Brown. Whatever the exact circumstances of Brown's death, everything else about the case suggests a town where broken windows policing was not being done, or at least not done well. A sense of insecurity and disorder. A police force badly out of step with the community it ostensibly serves. Reactive, not proactive, law enforcement. And you are seeing that now in the explosion in the aftermath. I guarantee you Stevens will be vilified for pointing that out, and I will be vilified for calling them a black lynch mob, which some of them are. R. It's 10:50.
The Jerry Bader Show.